Good morning, church. It's really good to be here with you to bring you the Word of God again today. It's weird again, but I trust that you're all doing well. I am convinced that God is faithful to take us through all the difficult problems and difficult times that we have. And today He wants to talk to us about being convinced and trusting Him, being convinced of His trustworthiness, I guess is a good way to put it. Walking in faith, being one of the fundamental laws that we have as walking in Christians. And in Hebrews 11:1, in the Message version, it says, "The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see." So you understand that faith is believing in something that we don't see. It's believing for something that we don't even understand sometimes. And you'll see from the roll call, the Hebrews of Faith in Hebrews 11, that we're going to get into in a little bit, that it says in verse 1 there that now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So it's being sure of what we hope for. Faith is just, it's a fundamental part of our Christian life, and so we're going to be talking about that today. But before we do, if you would, just bow your heads and pray with me. Father, I thank You for our time together this morning. Lord, it's good to be in Your house, bringing Your Word to the body of Christ. Father, speak through me today, Lord, that I'll say only those things that You would have me to say, that I'll not get in Your way, but that I'll allow You to move and do what You want to do in the body of Christ today. Lord, I just lift up each of our people today, the congregation here at Open Arms. We ask, Father, that Your faith, that their trust in You will be strong, Father. That will be unwavering. There will be no doubt, Father, that they'll understand that You are in control of everything that we do, and we can trust You in all the little details. So I thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said, we're going to begin in chapter 11 of Hebrews. Chapter 11 of Hebrews is called the faith chapter. It's the roll call of the heroes of faith, and there's just a lot of really good examples here in Hebrews 11. I'm not going to do all of them, but I'm going to do a few of them. We're going to go through a few of them and just share what it meant to them to trust God, and how some of them, even like Abraham, not even knowing where he was supposed to go, God told him to go and he went. That to me is a little bit hard, just to know that I can trust Him enough that when He tells me to go, I'll start going and He can show me the way as I go. Hallelujah. That's what Abraham did, and that's what's going on there. Hebrews 11 is often called Faith's Hall of Fame, and readers meet men and women who believed and followed God even then when they weren't sure where He was leading. The trust or faith that they had in God gave their lives purpose and provided a foundation for building on. They demonstrated that mankind didn't need to see God or observe His map of their life to know He has a purpose and a plan that they need. Hallelujah. Today, anyone of us, anyone of you can be part of the Faith Hall of Fame. Accept God's plan. Embrace His purpose and share His love. Be encouraged and encourage others. You'll need the strength and friendship of trusting believers to walk with God, determined to reach the finish line. So we need each other. We grow by being together, by encouraging one another, by sharing with one another, by praying for one another is how we grow, is how we can make it through this walk of faith, this walk that I'm talking about today that is for each one of us. We can walk knowing that God is there to see us through. And I'm sure that Abraham, or Abram as he started out to be, didn't just know this right away, but it took him walking through some trials and some troubles to figure out, hey, I can trust God. I'm convinced that he's trustworthy because of what I saw him do here and here and here and here. So let's begin in verse 3 of chapter 11, Hebrews. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Excuse me. So God, first of all, we believe and we know that God created the world out of nothing. Spoken word. He spoke the world into existence. And we believe that. We know that as faith. We believe that. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. And by faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. By faith, he still speaks even though he's dead. So these people from eons or ages ago still speak to us of their faith because of the word that we have written down about them. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And verse 6, remember this one. If you remember nothing else that he tells us today, remember verse 6 of Hebrews 11. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So we've got all kinds of promises in the Word of God that tell us, God tells us what he'll do for us as believers, as we walk with him, as we're obedient to his Word. But we have to believe that he exists and that he does reward those who earnestly seek him. Excuse me. And then it goes on down. I want to begin today then for the first example of faith that I love to use. The next verse talks about Noah, and I'm not going to get into Noah. That is truly a remarkable act of faith for Noah to build a boat on dry land because God told him to. It hadn't even rained before. He's building a boat because God told him to. He believed God. But I want to begin in verse 8 then. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place that he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 12, if you would, please. We'll go back to Genesis and just see what Abraham did here. As I said, we're back in 12. Probably begin with verse 1 there in Genesis 12. I'm looking as you are, so it takes a little longer to get back and go. But it says here in verse 1, the Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country and your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you." So he didn't just tell him to go to Columbus. Didn't tell him to go to Cleveland or Cincinnati or even Fort Wayne. But he said, leave your country and your people and go to a place that I'll show you. So I'm going to take you somewhere, but I need you just to believe me and go. All right, imagine that for a minute. Imagine that you get a word from God and he tells you to go to Pulaskiville. You're going to get up and go, or you're going to say, well, what do I want to go there for? But God goes on then to say, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Hallelujah. And we're part of that blessing, guys. Verse 4 is a verse that I just love because of what Abram did. It says, so Abram left as the Lord had told him. Excuse me. So he left. Not only did he not know where he was going, but he took his family and left. Took his wife and left. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Took his wife, Sarai, his Lot nephew, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. And they arrived there. Excuse me. So they set out and arrived where God had told them to go because he trusted God. He was convinced that God had told him that he needed to do this. And he was obedient to his father. Hallelujah. And that's where we need to be. That is where we need to be. So we can trust God. So we can know that he is trustworthy, that we're able to do what he tells us to do, that we can do whatever it is that he wants us to. And then we're going to find on over in chapter 22, God tested Abraham, and this is another just an awesome example. This is after the birth of Isaac, when Abraham and Sarah were both old, and he told them, you're going to have a son, Isaac. And so they had their son, even though they laughed and said, well, how can we do this as old as we are? But God showed him that he's trustworthy, that he's faithful. And so after Isaac was born, verse 22, or chapter 22 of Genesis, verse 1 says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will tell you about. Excuse me. So he is, again, going to do something that he doesn't want to do because he knows that God told him, Isaac is the one whom you're going to have, all your descendants, as many as the sand on the seashore, are going to be from Isaac. So you're going, your quiver will be full from Isaac. And so God told him here to take him and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will tell you about. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, saddled his donkey, took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac, and when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place that God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance, and he said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Wow. That's faith. He already knew in his heart that even though God had said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, and sacrifice him there," Abraham knew that Isaac was the one who he was going to have his children from. Hallelujah, his grandchildren. His descendants were coming from Isaac. He said, "We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Wow. Wow. Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. Hallelujah. When they reached the place that God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" "Here am I," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Thank you, Jesus. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." To this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. So if you want to take the title of this lesson today and just change it to, "The Lord will provide," that works for me. That's what faith is. That's what faith is, guys. The Lord will provide. Hallelujah. We've seen it time and time again through the Old Testament, through the patriarchs of the Bible, through Noah and Daniel and Jonah and Abraham and Isaac and Joseph, just the whole bunch of them. Time and time again, we've seen God move miraculously on their behalf. So, after the angel, in verse 15, then it says, "The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, 'I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me.'" So you see, guys, it's about obedience. It's about walking with God in obedience, doing what He wants us to do, understanding that He will bring us through even our difficult times. even our difficult times. And all of you know, you've heard us say this verse before, and I'm going to Jeremiah 29:11 now. This is a verse that you can count on again. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I'm going to read 11 and 12, 13, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Hallelujah. "And you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Hallelujah. For he knows. God says, "I know the plans that I have for you." Each one of you can take that, put it in your heart, and trust God with it. What do you want to believe God for today? You know, we've got all this crap going around with COVID. Do we want to believe God and walk in faith, or do we want to believe the world and walk in fear? I personally want to walk in faith. I want to believe God that no matter what comes, and this time and this earth, that God is in control. Hallelujah. We don't have to fret or worry. Even though they say that Biden has won the election, even though they say that, we can trust God to know that he's there for each one of us to bring us through. Let's go down, just flip on over from Hebrews over to James now in chapter 2. There's just a little bit there also, talking about faith. And it's talking about faith and deeds. Let's just read it. It says, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds," or he has no action with it? He doesn't do anything to back up his faith. Just as Abraham, when God told him to leave the place he was, pack up his family and go to a place I will show you, if he hadn't have put one foot in front of the other one and began to move toward that place, there would have been no faith. He had to have some action. So can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about it, his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." So we have to accompany our faith with action. When the crippled beggar that Peter and John were ministering to there in the New Testament, when they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." If he hadn't risen on his feet and began to walk, if he had not had some action, he wouldn't have been healed. We have to believe and not doubt. Hallelujah. Someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. So I'll do things for you, but I don't have any faith. You have faith and believe it, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together. And faith was made complete by what he did. The scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. Hallelujah. Well, don't you want to be called God's friend? As just a place that I want to be. Where God was willing to say, there's less as a friend of mine. Hallelujah. Wouldn't that be awesome? That God is my friend. I am called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. So we have to walk in faith. We have to have a plan. We have to follow it through. And we have to put one foot in front of the other one and do what God asks us to do as we walk in faith through this life that he's called us to. There's scripture after scripture. I could go through a bunch of them. I'm just going to look at a couple of them here with you, if you don't mind. Just did the one in James. First John 3:23 says, and this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son. So we have to believe without doubting in his Son Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. So we're commanded to love one another, to care for one another. And that's how our faith grows, as we walk with one another and live with one another, care for one another. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:9 says, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God is by faith. Hallelujah. So we walk in faith. We do what God asks us to do. We went down through the roll call of the heroes of faith today, and just looked at some of them. There's dozens of them, guys, and you know heroes of faith in your families, in the church, in the ones that you're around, that you associate with. Heroes of faith, people who believe that God is real, that he loves us, that he'll care for us, that he'll do for us today whatever we need him to do. Because he loves us that much. Because he wants to take care of us. It's essential for us as we pray to believe, to have faith. Because he says that if we doubt, we're like the waves of the sea. It tosses back and forth, and we don't know which way we're going because we doubt. So when you pray, believe God. Believe that he'll do what he says he'll do. Guys, we may go through some more rough patches. We may go through some more hard times, as I'm sure we will. But there are going to be times of growing for us. There are going to be times to increase our faith, times to strengthen and help us to be convinced and trusting. Hallelujah. I want you today to be convinced that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think. Hallelujah. and that He'll care for you. If any of you need prayer, need anything at all, let one of us elders know, or Matt McGlott. Let someone in the body know so that we can help. That is going to be part of the way that the church gets through these hard times and this, what we're dealing with is if we'll work together, if we'll pull together, help one another, take care of one another, and love one another. It's a little harder to love one another when we're not together every week. It may be a little while yet until we can get together. They're changing these rules again, so we're not sure where we're going to go from here. But we know that we can trust God, and that you guys can know that we'll be there for you. So if we don't give you a call and you need something without us calling you, then you call us. Let us know so that we can help and be a part of the solution in God's kingdom. Thank you for your time. God bless you and all you do. Father, I thank you today that we can trust you. Thank you, Lord, that you are trustworthy, that you, Father, that even though we don't see you, we know you. Hallelujah. We can believe in what we can't even see. Faith. Hallelujah. So, Father, today, meet the needs of your people. Cause them to grow up into you as oaks of righteousness, Father. Trees planted by the Lord. Father, I'm also praying that soon we'll be able to come back together and be together to share together around the Word of God. Around the table, Father, around your sacrifice. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.